I trust that I can communicate this morning what challenged my heart back here not too long ago, maybe a month or more ago, as I read this from the pages of a book by Dr. Tim LaHaye that was called The Merciful God. That's the name of his book. And I've been reading that as a devotional book since the beginning of the year. And I read slowly and I ponder and I think. And I came across these pages, and he gave a list of things that are affected by our belief in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said everything points to Jesus' return. Now, some of us are students of prophecy, and some of us are news junkies like me. I'm always listening to the news, but I'm always listening to the news and wondering what portends the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second coming of Christ occupies such an important place in Christianity, it colors or affects almost every element of our faith. Whether we consider doctrine or practice, celebration or behavior, most everything in our faith anticipates the return of Jesus Christ. God tells us a great deal about the second coming in order to motivate us, encourage us, and give us hope. Reflect on how the Bible weaves the return of Jesus into the fabric of our faith and our lives. Now, I think I need to define quickly for you and to remind you that the return of Jesus Christ is in two phases. They do not happen the same day or the same year. They are separated by at least 7 years. The first phase of the return of Jesus Christ we call the rapture. And it will be when Christ comes down to grab his church, both living and dead, and take us home to heaven to be with him. We are caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The second part of the return of Christ we call the glorious appearing. At that time, he does not come in the clouds of the air. He comes to the earth. Zechariah chapter 14 says his feet touch the Mount of Olives, and it splits in half, with the split running east and west, and each half moving north and south. On that day, he will fight a great battle, the Battle of Armageddon, and he will destroy the Antichrist and the beast from Europe and all of their armies, and he will set up his glorious kingdom. That is called the Second Advent. The first Advent was when Jesus Christ came to earth, grew up from a baby and an infant in Bethlehem's manger to be the man at 33 that was hung on the cross and died and paid the penalty for your sin and for my sin. We who are students of God's Word and take God's Word literally believe that the return of Jesus Christ for his church can happen at any moment. It's called the imminent return of Christ. There's nothing that has to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ returns to earth. It's whenever he decides. After he returns to earth and catches away his church, then the 7-year tribulation period that is described in detail in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 to chapter 19 will transpire on this earth. You and I won't be here. We will be on our honeymoon in heaven with Jesus. Amen? At the end of that 7 years, he will come back and bring us with him riding on white horses. I don't think he needs our assistance. He wants us there to witness the victory. That's why some people once in a while in their testimonies will say, don't forget we win. because that's what Revelation chapter 19 and 20 tell us. We win, amen? But that isn't yet. That's at least 7 years from today. Because that period is spelled out for us various ways that it's 7 years. Now, I used the word, I inserted a word in the paragraph that I read from Dr. Tim LaHaye's book, where he says, whether we consider doctrine or practice, celebration or behavior, everything in our faith anticipates the return of Jesus Christ. Just before that, he said this, everything colors or affects. Now, what did I use the word affect for? I went to the old dictionary, Noah Webster's old dictionary, the one that used to be that thick. Now it's very easy to access through a Bible program in my computer. And so I went and I dragged up Noah Webster's definition of effect. And he says this, to make, to desire from the same room. Effect is to make or to press upon. And then it gave six little definitions under that, and the first three relate to what I want us to think about in these next few minutes. First of all, to act upon, to produce an effect or change upon, as cold affects the body. Loss affects our interest. Number two, to act upon, to move the passions, as affected with grief. Number three, to aim at, aspire to, desire or entertain pretension to, as to affect an imperial sway. Now, why do I like that word? Affect. Why do I say you and I are to be affected? And we are affected by the belief in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a few things that I want to point out quickly this morning. And the first is very appropriate for this morning because the Lord's Supper is affected by our belief in the return of Jesus Christ. Would you turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. Now you have heard me read this hundreds of times through the years. And I will probably quote it in a few minutes again during the communion service. But verse 26 says this, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, what's the next expression? Till he comes. Till he comes. What's that talking about? It's talking about the return of the Lord. It's talking about the rapture of the church. It's talking about the catching away, the lifting up, as you and I are caught up to meet him. Remember, at the first phase of his return, he comes for us and snatches us away. At the second phase, 7 years later, he comes with us, bringing us with him. Or you might apply Psalm 126, bringing his sheaves with him, his harvest. We are his harvest. So it affects the Lord's Supper. Secondly, I want you to see it affects worship. It affects worship. Continue on in your Bible over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and 28. Hebrews 12 and 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, when will we receive a kingdom? At the return of the Lord. At the return of the Lord, when he comes at the end of the tribulation with his saints, us, He is going to set up His kingdom. The kingdom that God the Father promised. The kingdom that was promised to David and his descendants, Israel, after him. A kingdom that has never existed on this earth. A kingdom that is absolute righteousness. With a righteous King, Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning over all of the earth. That kingdom. And so it says there in verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There are four important words in that verse, and they are what? They are grace, serve, reverence, and fear. Grace, service, reverence, and fear. Those four things together make up worship. It's what we are and what we do as Christians. By grace, we have been saved. By grace, we live. By grace, we serve. By grace, we worship. By grace, we fear in a proper way the holy God of heaven who has showered His grace upon us. That's worship. And so our worship is affected by our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ's soon return. And then number three, how about our prayer? Does our belief in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for us have anything to do with our prayer life? And so let us read over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, just a few more pages in your Bible towards the back, and you come to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Where we read, but the end of all things is at hand. What's that talking about? Christ coming back. Now, don't you believe a word that is said to you by the news and the rag media and the newspaper and the grocery store about the end of the world? I assure you, the end of the world will not take place for at least 1,007 years. How can it? Because first comes the rapture of the church, the catching away. Then comes the 7-year tribulation on the earth. And they will wish that the earth ended during that time. Bible says they will cry for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of God when He comes back. But then He sets up a 1,000-year kingdom on this earth. So the end of the world cannot take place for at least 1,007 years. So when you see them say that the world was going to end May 21st, 2011? Did it happen? Did anything happen that day? No. Here we are, September already. I'm not looking about, I don't get my prophecy from those guys on the rags. I get my prophecy from the book. And I trust that you read the book and that you study the book and you understand the book. And if you don't understand, ask questions. I love to answer questions and show you in your Bible where the answers are. I don't have the answers here. They're in here in the book. Amen? All right. It affects our ministry. It affects our ministry. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy. And we read it this morning in our responsive scripture reading. What did Paul say? Bear in mind, Paul is writing this from prison. This is the last thing the Apostle Paul ever wrote or dictated. And I suspect that he dictated it to Luke. Because he says, Luke is the only one that's with me now. So I think Luke did the writing. Paul did the dictation. Remember, we believe that he had some problem with his eyesight. And so that would explain why he used secretaries, amanuensis, which is the old-fashioned word for a secretary. But notice with me in verse 7 and 8, or verse 6 and 8. For I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So you can't even separate ministry from a belief in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are serving God today, why are you serving God? Because you love him. But what is your expectation? He's going to grab you someday and take you up to heaven and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? And so even our service is affected by our belief in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see everything is affected this morning. Certainly funerals are affected. Even when funerals are portrayed in the movies. And it's Hollywood, not Christians, that are doing the movies. What scripture do they usually quote at the graveside whenever they have a graveside service in a TV movie or a Hollywood movie? What is it? It's John 11. John 11. And most of you have this memorized, but let's turn there just in case you don't. It's Jesus talking to Martha and later to Mary as they walk out to the cemetery where their brother Lazarus has just been buried 4 days earlier. And Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again," verse 23. Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, please pay attention to the wording of the next two verses. And I was long in the ministry before I realized what it was really saying. Jesus said to her, "I am," present tense, not future tense. You catch that? "I am the resurrection and the life." What was she talking about? The future. Jesus said, "I am today, presently, the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die," like your brother just did, "he shall live." You see what he's saying to her? Even though your brother's died and buried, he's going to live. And then he says, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, what is he saying there? He's saying there is coming a day when those that have died are going to live again, and those that are still alive at that point will never die. They will be changed. Now, all of us, like me, are looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. Amen? But let's be honest. If the Lord Jesus doesn't return in the rapture in the next year or so, someone in this room this morning probably will lay in a casket right there. Because it's happened over and over and over again through the years. Amen? I expect my next funeral will involve my mother. She made it up. She made it through the service yesterday. She stayed at our house. Now she's at my daughter's house. I didn't get a phone call this morning, so I'm assuming that everything's well with mother, but mom's ready to go. Wouldn't you be at 95 and a half? Yeah, I think so. So it may be mom's. The brother over here lost his mom this week. It's repeated, isn't it? It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. But not all of us are going to die because somebody's going to be alive when Jesus comes back, and they're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and the rest of us will be caught up with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Funerals. How about patience? How about our patience? I'm not talking about people that sit in doctor's offices. I'm talking about that act in our heart that enables us to endure problems, heartaches, conflicts, not so nice people, and all those other things. Patience. Endurance, if you want a different word. Does that have anything to do with the return of the Lord? Well, turn with me to James, if you would, please. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. You see, the Apostle Paul weaves the return of the Lord into everything. The Apostle Peter returned, wove it in. The Apostle John does in the book of Revelation. The Apostle James does here in the book of James. These guys all have a one thought mind, don't they? Jesus is coming back. And so it affects everything that you and I do if you and I believe that Jesus is coming back. And why do we have such a crazy idea? Because Jesus told us. John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, in other words, the Father. You believe in me. In my Father's house are many homes. I learned that yesterday. That the best translation of that word is not mansion, it's not dwelling place, and it's not apartments. It's home. In my Father's house are many homes. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's why we believe it. Jesus said it. That I believe it, and that settles it, as somebody said so many, many years ago. Patience. Oh, I'm going to give you all the rest, but I'm not going to preach on them today. But here they are. Friendship. Spiritual vigilance, sex and marriage. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Have you read the book lately? Hebrews 13:4. Finances. Did you know that finances and your use of your money and the control of your money and the spending of your money and the giving of your money is all affected by your belief in the return of the Lord. Amen? And then I love this one. I added this one. This wasn't in Dr. LaHaye's book. This is in my heart. But really, it's not. It's in your book. Have you leafed through the hymn book lately? Notice how many songs have at least one verse, usually the last, though the one of them that we sang this morning, it was next to the last. At least one verse and many, many hymns and songs in your hymn book refers to what? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last verse of How Great Thou Art. The last verse of Amazing Grace. The one song we sang today, it was all the verses. When the roll is called up yonder. That's not talking about a dinner roll. It's talking about an attendance roll. When the roll, the attendance roll is called up yonder. When God calls a name, calls your name, you will what? Be there in that wonderful truth. Amen. And so our Christian hymns are affected by our return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope today you're very affected. Amen. Amen.